It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. Where did February and March go? For my running friends, a big shout out. Last weekend, there were two Winter Wild races, one at Waterville Valley, and then we had the makeup at Ragged on March 12th. This weekend is the various St. Patrick's Day races. There's a half marathon on Saturday in Manchester, and then there's the halfway to St. Patrick's Day 5K, you know, on Sunday. So for all my running friends, I'm sure I'll see you at one of these, you know, many races. There's also a Winter Wild race at Cannon. But this is a special weekend. This weekend with me, March 17th and 18th, is former Chief Justice of the New Hampshire Supreme Court, John Broderick, who's joined me this weekend. John, thank you. I know you're extremely busy guy, put on hundreds of thousands of miles to talk about mental health awareness, but thank you for joining me this weekend.
Well, thanks, Tom. You give me a little too much credit, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and as to you as well. So let's take a step back. We want to make sure that we cover a program that, along with Karen and all of our teammates at Dartmouth Hitchcock and others, we're putting on a conference on Wednesday, March 28th at New Hampshire, Southern New Hampshire University, which, as everybody knows, is on the sort of Manchester-Hooksett line from 8 to 12:30, March 28th. And the title of that is The Real Cost of Business, The Mental Health and Addiction Crisis. We have that going on. Plus, you have been the leader, compelling leader of something called the Change Direction Program, Know the Five Signs. So let's take a step back, talk about your role at Dartmouth Hitchcock and Know the Five Signs, and tell us how you've been getting the word out to not only the schools, and you've had a lot of assistance from former Commissioner Barry and current Commissioner Frank Edelblue, as well as many, many high school and middle school leaders. Let's talk about that as well as the presentations you've made to businesses.
Tom, thank you. Happy to do it. And you, by the way, Mr. Raffio, have been instrumental in helping that word get out. You never mentioned yourself, but I want to make sure people know how valuable you've been in this, not only by helping out financially, but by making things happen, which you do better than anybody I know, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
But I mean that sincerely. Let me just talk to your listeners briefly about the campaign. It started on a Monday morning in May of 2016 at the State House in what would have been an empty House chamber that day. And it was a nonpartisan, nonpolitical public awareness campaign about mental health, because I think all of us need to learn more, because most of us have a mental health story somewhere. And so we launched it that day. I wasn't sure who would show up. You were there, Tom, and 400-plus other people showed up, including our entire delegation in Congress, our then-Governor Maggie Hassan, the Department of Education, the Attorney General. It was an amazing room full of people. And since that date, which is almost 2 years ago now, we have been around the state speaking. And I have co-chaired that campaign with Peter Evers, who's the CEO at Riverbend Community Mental Health, and Bill Gunn, who retired recently from Concord Hospital. And much of our time, Tom, has been spent at high schools speaking to students. And we haven't invited ourselves anywhere, which is astounding. It's not a compliment to us. It's a compliment to the program and to the message. And so we've probably spoken to 35,000 people in the last 21 months, driven 35 or 40,000 miles. And it has been, Tom, for me, the most important thing I have done in my professional life. And I've had some great opportunities. I've been very lucky. But this means more to me. And if the people listening on this radio show today could be with me on those days when I'm in high schools, hugging kids with wet eyes, having kids download their own stories to me, it's really extraordinary, and it's very touching. It's also very concerning. And so there are a lot of kids who are suffering It's not limited to children, but I'm dealing with a lot of high school kids. And half of all mental illness in America, Tom, arises by age 14. So schools are the bullseye. And the teachers union has been great, the school administrators, the Department of Education. Virginia Barry was a big supporter. Frank Edelbu has now been with me to five or six schools. Governor Sununu, Chris Sununu, has come with me to a high school. Annie Custer has come. Our Attorney General, Gordon McDonald, who I think the world of, he's been to two high schools with me. Recently, Judge Lynn, who's on our state Supreme Court, called me and said, could I come with you to a high school, which was an extraordinary honor to have him. And so we're going to Laconia next month. So it's been extraordinary, Tom, and we're getting the word out, I think, about what to look for. And then Dartmouth Hitchcock and the Department of Education designed a REACT campaign, which is how do ordinary people react, or should they react, when they find some of the signs of mental illness in someone they know or love. So it's been an extraordinary effort. It's ongoing, Tom.
And I've learned over and over again how change really needs to happen in this world, one person, one story, one conversation at a time. So I think that sums up how it's been working. I mean, the statistics are one thing, and I like the listening audience to know this. Over 280,000 Know the Five Signs RAC cards have been distributed across New Hampshire. That includes the schools, but also physicians' offices, hospitals, and businesses like Northeast Delta Dental. Over 15,000 Granite Staters have learned more about this through 160 presentations. It's probably now 200 presentations, correct?
It's more than 200 now, Tom. And I tell you something, what's really concerning and touching all at the same time is the stories that I hear from high school kids. But I want to share one story with the listeners, which is not about a child who has a mental health problem, although I see many of those. This kid came up to me after I spoke at a high school up north, and he's a nice-looking kid, and he said, I'm a junior in this high school, and I play three sports here. And he said, I want to thank you for coming and talking about mental health problems. And I said, why are you thanking me? He said, well, I got to be honest with you. I play three sports. I'm popular here. But after listening to that presentation, I realized I've been a real jerk. I said, what do you mean you've been a jerk? He said, I think I've treated people badly in my school here who might have a mental health problem, and I feel really badly about that. I'm never going to do that again. How do you think I could make it up to them? And I said to him, you've made my whole day. It was a long drive, but I said it was worth it to hear you say that. And so these kids, Tom, this generation of kids, I really like them a lot. They're much less judgmental than my generation was. They want to talk about what's bothering them. And there are enough of them in our public schools who are suffering. They're not dangerous. They're just suffering with anxiety or depression. And we need to let them know that it's okay. It's not okay to have a mental health problem. I understand that. But it's okay to have a mental health problem, just like it's okay to have diabetes, although nobody would like to have it. And so we've got to change the conversation so that we can treat, as you say, Tom, we want to treat every physical illness like we should be treating. Mental health, they're all health issues. But anything above the neck, we tend to treat differently, and we shouldn't. And that's what the campaign's about. And it has so many people who are invested in it. We've raised, Tom, for the campaign over $330,000. And a third of that money, I'm proud to say, has come from Dartmouth Hitchcock, where I now work. So they've been very supportive. But other hospitals have helped, and Delta Dental has helped. There are a lot of people who have made it possible, and it's ongoing.
And you of course, I have to tell this story. You hold the record. It used to be held by Dr. Syl Dupuy with his various causes when he would see me, and within 3 minutes I would be writing out a check. When you came in that day a couple of years ago with Dr. Gunn, within 13 seconds, I think, I was writing out a check, and because it's that compelling. Now, John's been emphasizing, you know, this mental health issues get manifested by, like, age 14, so we obviously want to get the this into the schools. But, you know, just fast forward, you know, a couple years, and these students are going to be employees, you know, of employers. And so Justice Broderick has made presentations to various business audiences. I was on a panel, one in Bedford, the BIA. And that is really the conference that we're hosting on March 28th, The Real Cost to Business, the Mental Health and Addiction Crisis. We really want this forum to explore the challenges for employers to address behavioral health issues. And John and I have a private goal, or actually public goal, that we want businesses, managers in a company to be able to have a comfortable conversation about mental health the same way as if an employee would come up to a manager and say, you know, I tore my meniscus next Wednesday. I'm getting a little repair. I'm going to be out for 2 weeks. That's a normal, easy, succinct conversation. But we want to have that conversation if the same issue related to mental health. Tell us about the featured speaker, Bob McDonald, who is the Secretary of Department of Veterans Affairs.
Bob McDonald's an amazing guy. He was the 8th Secretary of Veterans Affairs in the Obama administration. He was in the cabinet. Before that, he was CEO and board chairman of Procter & Gamble. He's a graduate of West Point. Every year, he has a leadership seminar at West Point. He's in his seventh year. He's coming to our conference on March 28th. He's going to talk about the leadership needed to change the culture in business, because the leadership is essential change. Cultural change happens from the top down. You know that as well as anyone. And so he's going to lead it off. It's an honor to have him here.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend, St. Patrick's Day weekend, with me is former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Chief Justice John Broderick. But he's here with me this weekend to really talk about the most compelling initiative of his career. And, of course, he's had his distinguished career. I mean, he's been the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New Hampshire, so you can't get much better than compelling than that. But John believes that leading the Change Direction program has been the most important part of his professional career. So thank you, John, for your courage and leadership. I'm going to bring it back now to the conference. It is on March 28th. It's at Southern New Hampshire University at Mara Auditorium. We only have 140 seats. We're saving some seats for our sponsors, and I want to mention them, of course, Dartmouth Hitchcock and Delta Dental, but also Schwab, Hypertherm, New Hampshire Business Review. We also got the BIA and the Chambers of Concord, Nashua, and Manchester to contribute. We also got NAMI and New Futures involved. So it really does take a village, you know, to make this make this all happen. So this is really focused on employers who are now starting to grapple, you know, with mental health and how they can take it and build a culture of health that ultimately aligns, you know, with business goals. So you mentioned our featured speaker, Bob McDonald, but we also have, Judge, the local flavor as well, because one of the best companies in New Hampshire, and I know that because I've been on a panel with them for many years, is Badger Company. And we have the co-owner and vice president of research, Rebecca Hamilton, who also make one of the keynotes. So John is really has masterminded an event that starts with the Governor Sununu and the new president of Dartmouth Hitchcock, Dr. Joanne Conroy, making opening remarks, and then Bob McDonald, as just described. But then you have a panel, and so I just want to tell the listening audience, this is a conference that you'll be inspired, and you'll see how compelling it is. But by the end, there will be some compelling actions you'll be able to take.
I think it's important that your listeners understand that if all business cared about, which, by the way, is not all business cares about, but if all they cared about was their bottom line, this conference would be important to attend. And I say that because statistically, from what I hear and read, businesses in the United States lose about $200 billion, that's with a B, every year associated with mental health. And people say, how is that possible? It's possible because mental health, which is untreated, undiagnosed, or not accepted as it should be in the workplace, causes a lot of turnover, and anyone who runs a business knows that's expensive. It also causes a lot of absent days from work, and that's expensive. And then some economists probably coined a phrase, Tom, called presenteeism, like absenteeism. Presenteeism means you're at work, but you're not really focused as you would like to be, and therefore you are not as efficient as you should be. And so if you add up those totals over the course of a year, it's $200 billion. I think it's also important for folks to know that one in five adults in America has a mental health problem at some point during their life. And at least one in five Americans during their life, and probably many more than that, Tom, have someone they know or love who has a mental health problem. And if something's not right in the mental health of a family member, I don't care how rich you are, how successful you are, you're not on the top of your game. So the idea of this forum is to let New Hampshire people hear from national leaders and local or statewide leaders, and you've mentioned several of them, Tom, who are really accomplished business leaders. Governor Sununu is coming, and I really am grateful for that. And Marty Bolden, who works on the governor's staff, is going to be on one of our panels. And Governor Sununu, I think, is coming because he knows how important this issue is. He's been very good to this Change Direction Five Signs campaign. And he started a recovery workplace initiative so that people who have had addiction issues are given a shot to get back into the work environment. So I commend the governor for that. It's an important program. He's an important voice, obviously, for coming. Our panel, which will have Ken Norton from NAMI and Kate from New Futures, we're going to talk about what the statistics are. What does it look like? What's the landscape in this state and nationally on addiction and mental health? As you pointed out, Tom, a lot of the kids that I'm hugging or seeing or talking to in high schools, in a matter of a few years, they're going to be the workers throughout our state. So hopefully their mental health problems will be treated. But they need to be in a work environment, Tom. And you know that because Delta Dental does it very well. Badger does it very well. You have to be a worker-friendly place. And so your co-employees need to know what mental health is. They need to know the leadership in the business is concerned about it, is not going to judge people with those issues because most of them are valuable workers. And they want the workers who are suffering to know that it's okay to talk about it. They won't be penalized. They won't be finding themselves stigmatized. And if they find themselves in an environment where they feel supported, Tom, makes sense. They'll be focused more. They'll be more engaged in their work, and the company will benefit. So we have some really wonderful people. Craig Kramer, who you mentioned, has a title that sounds like he's in charge of the universe. His title is World Ambassador on Mental Health for Johnson & Johnson. And I met him and spent some time with him in Washington. He's an amazing man who had his own family tragedy, which triggered his initiative to get Johnson & Johnson to be doing more on mental health. So he's going to be part of our panel. And Dr. Will Torrey, who is a psychiatrist at Dartmouth, teaches at the medical school. He's a lovely man. I really admire him. So he's going to talk about mental health from the point of view of a psychiatrist with a medical perspective and what treatments are available and how best the workplace can accommodate people who are suffering. So it's not a program, time just so people feel they're better citizens and doing nice things for other people, although that's important. Even if you were totally selfish and only cared about money and profit, you would do well to come because you'll learn how to save money in your business while helping your employees to feel engaged. And those who are engaged will remain with you.
Exactly.
Which,
and if you,
which is the goal.
And if you think of it, if one out of five people are affected by, at some form in their life, mental health, and either them or their family, you're going to be affected by presenteeism, which I think, I know it's kind of a fancy word, but if an employee isn't focused, they're not focused on, customer service, and so those statistics are staggering. So I think the businesses in New Hampshire will be coming to this for all the right reasons, but even if it's looked at as a bottom line thing, as you described, The one thing that you and I know that by the end of this day, which will end at 12, promptly at 12:30, I know people are busy. We're going to try to start about 8:15 and end at 12:30. And you can register by going on the realcosttobusiness.eventbrite. That we'll be giving you some pragmatic solutions, because after that panel that John just described is done, you will be hearing from Rebecca Hamilton, the founder, one of the co-founders of Badger, talking about her experience in supporting all workers. And then we have another panel moderated by Dr. Savage, which will consist of Amanda Grapponi, Osmer, Ken Norton, Marty Bolden, who John referenced, and Joe Cipher. And we'll be talking about transforming workforce culture to support all workers. And then we'll close with Dr. McClellan talking about the many pathways to achieve these workforce goals. And then one of my few strengths that I have, John, I'm good. I'm taking copious notes throughout the whole day, and I promise the listening audience there'll be three actionable items by the end. I'll put it all together.
You can take that to the bank, Tom, because I know you're like that. But I just want to mention a couple of other things. These are just pinprick points, but important. If mental illness, mental health, is well treated in the workplace, you will have fewer workers' comp claims. You will better minimize the risk in the employment market in your own company. And the other thing that makes sense when you think about it, but you might not automatically go there, undiagnosed, untreated mental health problems tend to create more physical health problems. I mean, that's not my opinion. That's true. And so by taking care of mental health issues and making your employment environment supportive, those folks are much less likely to have a physical health problem, which could require time out from work. So there are so many reasons why we should do it. And anything you can do, and I know, Tom, you do it. I know Delta does it. Anything you can do to make your employees more resilient, whether it's physical health issues or mental health issues, they benefit, and therefore you, the employer, benefit. And you will save money and improve and enhance efficiency, which every business wants to do.
You can register by going on therealcosttobusiness.eventbrite. It's March 28th at Mara Auditorium, and seating truly is limited to 140. Kevin Love, who just turned 29, forward basketball star for the Cleveland Cavaliers and plays alongside LeBron James, just came out talking about his decision to seek help after suffering from a panic attack. And he gets into a press called the Players Tribune. It's a very moving document. So that is really going to help change direction and also to get the public comfortable talking about it. Because if a superstar athlete who everybody thinks has everything, good-looking guy, makes millions of dollars, plays alongside LeBron James, if he can have some mental health issues, everybody can, and the fact that he's willing to talk about it. So would you agree that him coming out like that is going to help our cause here?
It's a huge thing, and I commend him for it. It's much like when Magic Johnson in 1991 told the nation that he had HIV.
Exactly.
And we love Magic, and we changed our attitude, and we found treatment. I think Kevin Love can have the same impact on mental health, Tom.
March 28th, Mara Auditorium, The Real Cost of Business. And the register by going on a website, therealcosttobusiness.eventbrite.